People can keep coming in. All right. Hi, everyone. My name is Dan Phillips. I am here to give a talk that's probably quite a bit different from most of the talks in this room today. And we'll just kind of get into it, and we can see what we think. So as people come in, I'll just kind of get started. But in true fashion, I'm just going to start with a quick demo. So I work on a project called Boxer. Boxer is similar in terms of the DevEx to Docker. So I'll just give you a quick demo, and then we can talk about it. All right? So, excuse me? Oh, it's too small. How's that? Better? Okay, great. All right, so Boxer has the box CLI command, some cool ASCII art, of course. Boxer allows you to take a Docker file, just like you would in Docker, and compile it, and then have a runnable thing. Okay? So what I'm going to do here is box build Dockerfile. Okay? One thing I should show you about this, this is just a small little C binary that we have here. I'll show you what that looks like. Okay, very, very simple. Print out a bunch of numbers. Right, excellent for demos. The most important thing is this line, which I'll come back to in just a bit. So I've built the image. Now I can see what we have. You'll see that this looks a little big for that, but I'll get back into that later. Cool, so now I can run it. Excellent, it printed it. Now here's the kicker. The same exact thing. Same exact thing runs here. And if you read the description of this talk, you'll understand that the reason this is possible is because everything that was running was in WebAssembly, right? So, back to the talk. So, just quickly about me, I work at a company called Loophole Labs. We have a product that is unrelated to this. I lead all the WebAssembly stuff there, which is one little small part of what we do with our product. We have our main thing is architect.run, which allows you to migrate live migrate workloads without downtime. It's pretty cool. Check it out. This is me on my handles. I live in Chicago, and I run the WebAssembly Chicago Research Group. And if you're ever in town, come through. We have meetups every couple months. Cool. So most of us have heard of WebAssembly, yeah? I think, yes. Okay, good, good. So we're just going to talk briefly about what WASM is, and then we'll get into how this applies to what I just showed you. So WebAssembly is a safe, portable, low-level execution code format, right? It's safe sandbox execution environment with a deny-by-default security posture. It makes no assumption about language or host, right? The best analogy, the best way to think about it without getting into the details, is that it is a virtual CPU. It's a different compilation target. So just like you can compile things to native platforms, you can compile things to WASM. It's a virtualized ISA. It uses a bytecode binary format. It uses a stack machine, an abstract stack machine model, right, with secure stacks for every single execution environment. So what does that really mean, right? In a broad sense, it's just another architecture. This is the way to think about it. The key difference is that it is virtualized. It needs a runtime to translate to machine code. That doesn't mean that it needs to be interpreted, however. That means that there needs to be a runtime, and you can compile it ahead of time. You can even JIT in certain cases. It's universal, as in it's an open standard. It's in probably all of your pockets on at least one web browser and on your computers via the browser, which is where it started. And it literally just needs a runtime that fulfills the two-page spec, which hasn't changed since 2017. So is it a client-side technology? Usually when I talk to people about this and they say, oh, you work in WASM? I don't do a lot of front-end stuff. And I say, that's interesting because actually I only do server-side WebAssembly stuff. And we'll talk about how this applies to what I just showed you in the next few slides. So it's a safe sandbox execution environment. It makes no assumption about languages or host. Cold start times are in the nano to microseconds, depending on the size. It's a universal compilation target, like I mentioned. And so WASM, the joke in the WASM community is that WASM is neither web nor is it assembly, really. So server-side WASM. I like to think of this, when people saw these characteristics of this technology when it first came out in 2017, a lot of the people that were working on it had done a lot of work and cut their teeth on things like the JVM in the 2000s. And when people looked at these things and they kind of squinted, they realized that, okay, it's a small sandbox at the architecture level. If you squint, you could think about other use cases for this, right? And I like to call this the penicillin moment, right? It was invented so that it could run safely in browsers, and now people have taken it and applied it to many different other things. Some people talk about this progression. It may or may not be accurate. We'll see. And so when I said smaller, safer, faster, and much more universal, usually someone says, no, faster, it can't be faster, right? Because it has a runtime. This is true. And that's why faster has an asterisk. Faster startup times by usually several orders of magnitude for the same code. And then as far as the absolute performance difference between compiled code on a native platform and WASM, when it's AOT and optimized, you can typically get it within about 1.2 to 2 times the speed. So for certain things, it can be much, much faster. Everyone knows this quote. This is kind of, well, maybe not everyone, but everyone in my world knows this quote. And this caused a lot of VCs to become very excited back in 2019. And, you know, there's an interesting thing about this, because whether or not this has come to fruition in the last 5 years is debatable. So today I'm going to talk about Boxer. Boxer is what I just showed you. So Boxer is a tool that allows you to take container definitions right now and compile them to WASM. But the problem with WASM is that it's just an architecture. It doesn't have anything. It doesn't have a kernel. It doesn't have a libc. It doesn't have any sort of system. It doesn't know anything about what's going on outside of the guest, right? In WebAssembly, we have these concepts of the guest and the host. The host is the runtime. The guest is where the WASM actually runs. So what Boxer does is it kind of makes this DevEx a little bit easier. Has anyone actually used WebAssembly for anything in here? Okay, cool. So you all know how hard it is, or maybe what the pain points are. It's not quite as easy as downloading the Docker CLI and getting started, right? So I'm going to talk about Boxer a little bit and how it works. So what is in a box? Much like a container or the idea of a container, you have a base layer, right? The base layer has interfaces. Those interfaces are very similar to POSIX interfaces. Then we add several other layers, including a virtualized file system and system code layers. System code layers is a pretty broad term, which I will get into. It comes with the runtime, and then we have the user source code, right? The way that WebAssembly modules can communicate with each other and with the outside world are with the concept of simple imports and exports, right? The only thing that a WebAssembly module knows about is what is exported to it and what it also imports. This changes things on many spectrums when it comes to trying to rewrite how system layers can work, compared with things like processes and inter-process communication, and communicating over sockets, etc. Thanks. So, how could this be possible, right? Here, we start here with the from Alpine latest, and you'll say, wait a second, that isn't actually Alpine latest. That is, and you're right, it is literally just the interfaces that the Alpine image will give you, right? If you want anything else, then you can compile that and expose it as another WASM module. Similar thing to what maybe Docker will do. You can create something inside the environments. You can copy to it. You can set the working directory, and then you can execute it. A big part of this is the WASM VFS. The WASM VFS is a POSIX-compliant virtualized file system that mounts with every single box, right? Every single WASM box. It's written in Rust, so obviously it's incredible. And it implements all file system-related syscalls, and then it exposes them. So specifically in this project, what we do is we wrap this this Rust-based file system in C, and then in C we have what's basically a libc, which is an amalgamation of glibc and muscle in a very artfully done fashion. Artfully also maybe meaning hacky. And we expose all the same POSIX semantics with an asterisk also. Some key differences with the WASM VFS is that things like flushing, locking, syncing, work like they might work in the Linux VFS, but not quite as sophisticated yet. So there's an interesting thing there. The other thing about this project is when people say, when we talk about trying to deploy things with this sort of set of tools, people say, well, it's a virtualized file system, so I'm not sure if I can use that for my project. And then usually what I say is that you are already using a virtualized file system, you just don't know it because it's in the kernel, right? And so the idea is that we just have these perceptions of this. A lot of people wonder if this is another Fuse file system. It's also not. It's just made for WASM specifically with the communication between modules, which is one of the key points. Yeah, I guess I'll do that quickly. So the WASM VFS repo, you can see all of the supported functions. Great. Okay. Blah 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 blah. Caveats. Some big ones. Okay, this is a work in progress, and this is my side project. So I've been working on this for about 3 years, and it's just me. But with that, we still have a POSIX sort of surface area that we have worked on. It's not just me. It's me and a couple other people. If you want to get involved, please let me know. It's all open source. We have about 70% of POSIX implemented, which, wow, that seems like a lot. But the thing with POSIX is that the idea about POSIX is not necessarily the implementation, rather than the interface, right? So POSIX maybe is just interfaces. So we've exposed interfaces with much of the sort of system functionality. But how it works, it may look like something that you would see in Unix or POSIX, but maybe it works slightly differently. Networking. This is a whole nother talk, right? So networking does work. You can expose networking to the host. Right, if you're running on a server, you can also. We also have this thing that we're working on now, which is in the browser, like I showed you with this. We have a networking relay, which you can do all BSD sockets from the browser, just like you would, and you don't have to think about it. Using a sort of edge network that we've come up with, it's kind of experimental, but it can work, which is interesting. So the interesting thing about that is you could do the same work in the browser. It could even be your coding environment. You could take that and then you can move it to a server. You could also move it to an embedded device, as long as there are WASM runtimes everywhere. So, lower layers. How does this actually work? It actually works with a project called Marcot. Marcot, we're in Belgium, so my French is not very good, but in old French this means like substrate, right? Like a lower layer, right? So Marcot basically is what I told you about the Frankenstein libc operation that I do, where we have glibc and muscle, and we sort of expose all of those things, and we have a matrix of every single POSIX function and how well supported it is, right? And some of the more challenging ones are at the end, where it's coming to things like process and thread management, signals, time and date, that's not too hard. Memory management, also not very hard. But we have about 30% left that we're trying to implement. We're open to ideas. But the idea is that the sort of thesis for this was that with many containers, the average container user may not care about what the architecture is. Maybe 5% do, right? There's also parts of POSIX, because POSIX is a little bit of a leaky abstraction in places. Like if you've ever had the bad fortune to use setjump and longjump, you will understand that it is tied to specific architecture. There are no registers in WebAssembly, right? So there's quite a few challenges there. But for 95% of things, it's very possible that you could run a container in a smaller, safer, faster, and more universal environment. This is a picture that I had ChatGPT make for me, and I think it kind of fits. It's kind of a fun thing. And some metrics. So there are, in the AI revolution that we're in, there's a lot of Python users. A lot of people want to run Python in the browser. This already works with WASM, with things like Pyodide and with JupyterLite, Jupyter Notebooks, right? So this is just a small matrix of the differences, right? The same app with, and this doesn't also include the kernel and the runtime for the container. This is just the container, right? So 80 to 900 megabytes, startup speed could be in the seconds. The difference is that the same box with all of the functionality in it, 6 megabytes, and if you extract just the source code, 500 kilobytes, you can move that around to different environments where those system functions are snapshotted. I'm going to move a little quicker. So, paradigm shift. Maybe this is possible, maybe it's crazy, but this would allow for some really interesting things in the future, like a composable, universal, WASM-based operating environment in a more distributed fashion. True isomorphism. If you remember the Node.js craze from a few years ago, this is actually isomorphic, right? You're actually running the same exact code everywhere, but in a polyglot fashion. And then finally, if we have any fans of Plan 9 in here, the idea of a secure CPU, a secure stack for every single execution, this is something that comes a little closer to that. If you have more questions, I would love to talk with you after. So, thank you.
So, thank you. We actually have time for one question, I guess. Is there one question?
Yeah,
sure. There's one.
Sure.
Just a general question. I didn't hear you mention anything about the component model. I just wondered how this ties in, doesn't relate.
That's an excellent question. The component model, yeah. I don't know if anyone else has heard of the component model. Yeah. Okay, cool. So the component model is, that's with WASI. I didn't talk about WASI at all. The component model is a really cool idea, and it's basically strongly typed function wrappers around WASM modules. And it's composable at different levels, but they are... Many people in that group, and I'm actually part of the standards group with WASI, that group is not as interested in providing POSIX compatibility. In fact, they kind of like see that as a separate thing. Yeah. So, but the thing is with these interfaces at the lower levels, those could be components, and you could have components all the way down, and so certain interfaces could be componentized, and that's just a different implementation detail. So, yeah.
So, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.